Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, we are going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to just deal with one verse this evening, and that is verse 25, and it tells us, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Why? For we are members one of another. Pastor Nathan got me listening to a podcast, and so I've been going to it in the mornings, talking about the events of the day and the Christian worldview. And the person doing the podcast talked about last year. Do you know what the word of the year was? It was the word gaslighting. And he went on and described, it was based off a movie back in the 40s or 30s or something, where a husband was trying to convince his wife she was going crazy. And so he would somehow, I guess, turn the lights on and off and so forth. And she thought that, did you see that? And he just said, well, see what? And he was kind of doing these things to give her the impression she was going crazy. And so we can somehow gaslight people and give them the impression that something is happening that really isn't happening, or not happening that is happening. I think he said in 2006 the word of the year was truthiness. If I remember right, I should have gone back and listened to it. But he's talking about truthiness. What is truthiness? Well, it's something that is related to truth, because after all, what is truth? And what's true to you may not be true to somebody else, and what's true to someone else may not be truth to you. And as a result, you will find yourself in a situation where, you are going to have to deal with truth. I have some statistics on lying, and 76% of people believe lying is acceptable, and this is according to the American survey by creditdonkey.com. So that sounds legitimate, like a legitimate. All right. 76% of people believe lying is acceptable in some cases. 24.1% of men have lied on their Facebook profile. 16.6% of women have. So things are not always as they appear. 21.7% of men have lied on a resume. 16.3% of women. So some base of this survey, men are bigger liars. But 51% of women, 0.7% of women, have lied about their weight. Only 28% care to lie, I guess. 3% of 1,254 Americans polled said they lied often. And 66% said they are seldom or never dishonest. So you wonder how much they're lying about that. Females are more likely to lie to their parents, and males are more likely to lie to their friends. Now, the verse here, and I don't think we have to explain too much about what it is to lie, but the verse here says to put away lying and speak every man truth. Now, what's an interesting search with your search engine is to ask, put in the words habit of lying. And people have a habit of lying. And habitual lying, according to this one search engine, results showed is when an individual lies with such frequency that it becomes a regular behavior. And this is oftentimes triggered by addiction and many struggles that come with it. It's important to distinguish between denial, delusions, and lies. And the question is asked, do you have a bad habit of lying? Additionally, a bad habit of lying can signify another mental health issue. And how to stop lying, you can see that Duke University Press has this about the habit of lying. And we could go on and on and on. And what's really troubling to me is how often I catch people in lies. And, you know, you can't do counseling without finding out sometimes people are not telling you the truth. I know of one situation where someone was saying to his wife that, you know, nothing was wrong in regarding infidelity, and yet the wife had proof of texts that there was communication going on with the husband, with somebody else. And this person looked me in the eye and says, that's not true. And I said to them, well, what would you say if I told you you are lying? Well, I'm not lying. And then I showed him the text, and all of a sudden, he got angry at me. This is very, very common. And people who call themselves Christians who are lying. And I think because it seems like over the years, it's increasingly getting worse and worse and worse, and more people are expecting it to happen, that maybe Christians somehow think, well, you know, I've got to sometimes lie to protect myself or to protect somebody else or to keep from hurting somebody's feelings or to get out of trouble. And it goes on and on and on. It's interesting that in this context here, we see that there are, you know, we talked about overcoming habits, and we said that there needs to be the principle of replacement, verses 22 through 24. And then we saw that there's going to be a continual struggle that we will have to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. We need to put off the old, put on the new. We need to get into out of the habit of doing those things that are not characteristic of a Christian. And we're told that there is this being the renewing of the mind. So then he gives examples. And the first example he brings up is this area of lying. So you got to put this off and you got to put something on. And then you've got to renew your mind. All right, so let's look at that this evening a little bit. So the scripture here tells us that we need to recognize lying as something that is not good. It is evil. It is wicked. And it's interesting, you'll see things like deceit and falsehood and false witnesses. One of the ninth commandments is thou shalt not bear false witness. And we have to understand that from God's standpoint, God could never lie. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Now, I wonder sometimes if people have a characteristic lifestyle of lying, how can they truly understand a God who does not lie? So sometimes they think God somehow pulling the wool over their eyes, or somehow doing something that that is suspicious. But the scripture tells us that God cannot lie, Titus 1:2. He hates lying. We're told in Proverbs chapter 6:16, these six things hath the Lord, doth the Lord hate, and one of those is lying. He forbids his children to lie. Putting away lying, it tells us here. It is just contrary to his very nature. But you know whose nature it is not contrary to? Satan. John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a liar, and he's the father of it. So to lie is to really, in a sense, to do the work of Satan. I mean, it's very, very evil. It is not just a little thing. You know, I've heard Patrick on different occasions talk about this whole idea of a little white lie. And that is something that there is no little to it. As a matter of fact, we find in the scripture that in hell are going to be liars. And if you go over to the book of Revelation, let's just look at it, and we'll come back to Ephesians in a minute. Revelation chapter 21, a passage of scripture that you probably know, and if you don't, you ought to know this. Because it tells us in verse 8 that those who are this way will burn with fire and brimstone. It says the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Now, I took our Sunday school, and I'm going to take you here, 1 John chapter 3, and I was looking at this with our Sunday school class this morning, and I just want people to understand, you know, that liars will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, but we're told in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, that born of God is in a tense that says it's something that happens in a moment of time and it continues. And it basically says that when a person is saved, that salvation will continue. But notice it says he doth not commit sin. That doth is in the verb tense of continuing. So a person who is saved will not continually practice a lifestyle of sinfulness. For his seed remaineth in him. So we do know that God dwells in the believer, and certainly the Holy Spirit dwells in the believer, so that he cannot practice continually sin. Because he is born of God. And this, the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that presently practices to not love his brother. Now, that's an interesting thing because, you know, we can find ourselves wondering if a person's saved or not. Now, John says very deliberately that a person who is truly saved is not going to make his lifestyle a lifestyle of sin. Now, does that mean that a Christian cannot sin? Well, that's not true because 1 John 1 says that if we say we have no sin and we say we have not sinned, we are not speaking the truth. We are truly lying. So obviously, it is possible for a Christian to lie. But here's a good question. What if you have this habit of lying? Could you be saved? I really have doubts in my mind if a person is in the habit of lying all the time, and it's just part of him. Based on what I'm seeing, I just have these doubts of whether they could be saved. Now, certainly, a person who gets saved can be in the habit of lying, and he's got to break out of that. But I do find it very fascinating that lying is something that is very, very bad. We're told in Mark chapter 7 that when he talks about out of the heart of man, there's deceit. And according to one commentary, deceit is containing the underlying thought of a lure or a bait In other words, signifying trickery. So you're trying to trick people into thinking maybe you're okay. Or yeah, I did that because I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to lose my reputation. And the commentary says it thus denotes that vice which cunningly devises varied means of entrapping others for personal advantage. So, what I'm trying to say to you is that, you know, if we have put off the old man, let's come back to Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4, if we have put off in verse 22, the old man. This is the life of the unbeliever. The unbeliever who walks, in verse 17, in the vanity of their mind. They are ignorant, and there's blindness, who being past feeling. And it talks about that this is the characteristic of a person who is lost. And if I am now saved, I need to not let the residual of that characteristic be a part of my life. And that I must be alert to the fact that, according to verse 22, these are deceitful lusts. So we understand that it's important that we recognize that lying is not just some little thing I do. It's just kind of my little weakness. No, it's big. And if I were a person sitting in this congregation who was practicing lying all the time, I'd really double check on your salvation. I'm not saying you're not saved, but I would double check to make sure you are saved. Because that is not characteristic of a believer. So, he says, putting away lying. Now, I want to ask you a question. And this, I'm going to do a little joke from Jay Adams. Okay, here's the riddle. When is a door not a door? When it's ajar. Okay, so we could argue the value of that joke. But I want you to think about that. A door is not a door when it's ajar. Now, of course, a play on words, right? But what is that saying? We say, okay, when is a door not a door when it's something else? Right? Question. When is a liar not a liar? Okay, so we could say, well, when he quits lying. No, he just may temporarily be putting that off for the moment because it's not to his benefit. So a person could very easily just say, well, you know, in this context, I won't lie. But that doesn't change the fact that they're a liar. So that comes back to the question, okay, when is a liar not a liar? Well, when he is something else. All right? So in other words, what is he characteristic of? What is his character? Well, according to verse 25, he is a truth speaker. He is speaking truth. In other words, you could look at somebody and you say, they always tell the truth. I have never caught them in a lie. Or, if I did catch them in a lie, I could tell. We used to play this game at camp, and it was a blast, but I always felt guilty about it. It was called Mafia. How many have ever played Mafia? It's a blast. But it's based on deception. So I would always feel guilty about lying, you know, but I had to lie to win. So I would say, okay, I want to make a confession right now. I may lie this time. Everyone laughed at me. But it made me feel better. But, you know, here you are in there's a group of people, and somebody's the murderer. And you got to try to find out who the murderer is. So that is an interesting thing, because when you do that, and yet somebody who is not good at lying, like me, someone could say, I can tell he's lying. Now, what's important to understand here is that a person who is not a liar is someone who is just the opposite of lying. And you could say, you know, if you said to them, did you take that cookie, little Johnny?
Yes.
And you say, well, okay, little Johnny, you're in trouble because you took something because mommy told you not to do that. But at what point does little Johnny start figuring out, that was a dumb answer. Now, I just got in trouble for lying. And so, all of a sudden, little Johnny becomes very deceitful. And where does he get that? Well, he gets this from this nature of ours. It's their deceitful lusts. And of course, if little Johnny is not saved, you probably would expect him to do this. And so you say to little Johnny, now, little Johnny, you did not take that cookie?
No.
Why are there crumbs all over your mouth?
I don't know.
Now, that's the catch-all answer when you get caught in a lie. I don't know. Somehow, you know, maybe the little cookie fairy came along and just rubbed it all over my face while I was sleeping or something. And I was taking a nap. Now, it's a fascinating thing to recognize that, you know, when you get to a point where you say, you know, I am not going to lie. Because when you lie, you can hurt other people. You can destroy a person's reputation. You can gossip about somebody. You can do untold damage to the church. You can, actually, people have died because someone lied. This is what they try to do with Jesus. They just try to get somebody to come in there and accuse him of something. The media lies all the time. Now, if you are not aware of that, you better wake up and smell the coffee. I'll read headlines, and they'll try to put certain people under such bad light, whereas other people, they'd say, well, this person went down to Florida. Whereas they'll say, well, this person, in his deception, went down to Florida. And you say, oh, what did he do? And you may not even read any more of that news, and you'll come to the conclusion, but that person's a rascal. Now, there are certain news agencies and news channels and so forth. If that's where you get all your news, you're going to be many times misled. I would not get your news from social media, because there are people on there that could care less about telling the truth, just as we already statistically showed. So sometimes it can cause somebody to lose their life, lose their reputation. And of course, lying can cause somebody, as we mentioned, to go to hell. So we have to say, okay, now here I am. I lied. And you know you lied. Your boss said, did you do this job? Oh, yes. Did you really? Did you fill that out? Oh, yes, I did. I better go and fill this out because I just told him I did. Well, you just lied. You know, you do your income taxes and you begin to recognize that, you know, they're asking stuff that if you answered a certain way, you're going to lose a lot of money. So sometimes it's easier to lie than to tell the truth. So we have to understand that we need to begin telling the truth. We need to be truth tellers. We need to be known in our reputation that we don't lie. Now, did Jesus ever lie? No, it says there was no deceit found in his mouth. And yet they tried desperately to make him out as a liar. So they tried to find things. And they tried to twist the truth so that he looked guilty. And, you know, he said God was his father, making himself equal with God. Well, if he was not God, he would have lied. And he says to the Pharisees that if I lie, I'll just be like you. But he was telling the truth. Because Jesus always tells the truth. When you go to your Bible, you say it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We saw that Jesus always fulfilled the word of God. So we go to a passage of scripture like verse 25. And we say, well, that's an accurate statement about lying. Or as some people put it, the truth about lying. So, it's important that we understand that we need to replace lying with truth. Now, so we put off, we put on. Now, my question to you is, when's the last time somebody caught you in a lie? Now, I could have asked, when's the last time you lied? But when was the last time somebody caught you in a lie? Now, you might be very deceptive. You might be very capable of keeping that from you. As a matter of fact, they do tell us there are ways to get around lie detectors. But it is important to recognize that if you have lied and you are in the habit of lying, the Bible says you need to put off that habit and start making sure that you put on truth. All right? So we put off, we put on. Very simple. But how do we do that? Is it going to be hard if you are in the habit of lying to quit lying? How many think it would be hard? Yeah, addictions are very, very powerful. What is a habit? A habit is something you do so regularly you do it sometimes without thinking. You know, so the first thing you want to do is to cover your reputation, to keep yourself from looking bad, so you may come out with a lie. Now, how do we deal with that struggle? All right? Does anybody have any clue? Now, this is a trick question, probably. But does anyone have a clue as to when we looked at verses 22, 23, and 24 as to what you would need to do to overcome that struggle? Would it be in verse 22? Or verse 23? Or verse 24? Now, we need to do this through the power of the exalted Christ, but we have to do it through verse 22, by renewing your mind. And the thing about a habit that is very difficult is we do it sometimes without what? Thinking. So what do we need to do? We need to start thinking. So here you are in a conversation, and you know for a fact that somebody has said something and you told something that wasn't true. And so as a result, what did you do? You lied. The first thing you need to do is recognize what you just did. Now you could have somebody say to you, what would you say if I called you a liar and I have proof of it? Well, that would obviously settle it. You know, the wicked man fleeth when no man pursueth, Proverbs tells us. You know what that means? That means that people who are guilty have a tendency to evade. So if it's a child, they don't want to look at you in the eyes. They want to look down. They want to change the subject. And so, you know, so sometimes, you know, you can have a parent, and I've had teachers, for instance, I wonder if they had eyes in the back of their head, because I was not the best behaved elementary school student, nor junior high, I should say. But, you know, it's interesting, I had teachers, I wonder, how did they know I just did that? Well, sometimes you look at somebody and they won't look in the eyes, or they're kind of evading the question. You know how, you know, when a politician's lying, right? He'll talk about everything in the world except for the question. Instead of answering that question. And you say, wow, ooh, man, that was pretty profound. Yeah, but he didn't answer the question. So a good correspondent will say, well, let's come back to that question. Did you do this? Well, it's like I said. And they'll evade. And if you're not careful, your mind will evade the fact that you just did something terrible. Now, if you're a Christian, we have the advantage of the Holy Spirit that could cause us to think, boom, that was wrong. And so you have to be alert. And if you remember, we talked about renewing your mind. You've got to be alert. Put on the loins of your mind. Be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, is walking about seeking who may devour. So you've got to come to the conclusion, wow, I need to think about this. I need to face this head on. And then you have to... Secondly, we said, in renewing the mind, you've got to capture your thoughts. And you say, okay, not only did I sin, but I am going to answer how I sin and the way I sinned. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so you have to capture your thoughts. I mean, this is something very serious. Boy, I can't believe I just did that. Now, you might say, well, I believe it because I do it all the time. Well, are you saved? So here is an interesting thing. The Scripture tells us to guard our minds and to think on godly activities. Do you remember what Philippians 4 said? We didn't really look at this, I don't think, last week. But it says, whatsoever things are true. And it goes on in this other things. But let's just stop right there. Philippians 4, verse 8. Whatsoever things are true. At the end of that verse, what does it say? think on those things. So what was true? Well, when the boss asked me if I did that assignment or that work, and I said, oh yeah. Was that true? Well, if it wasn't true, you got to think on that which is true. So what are you going to do? You're going to therefore say, okay, I've got to get out of this mindset of lying, and I need to speak the truth. And it says there in verse 25, speak, this is Ephesians. Let's come back to Ephesians 4:25. It says, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Now, who is our neighbor? Now, of course, we can look at what Jesus said. You know, anybody in need is our neighbor. But it does seem to be in the context here of the church, because it says we are members one of another. You know, especially the men and the ladies in our church, they deserve for us to tell them the truth. So someone says, how you doing? Fine. Did you just lie? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean, well, if you want a list, let me come back here and I'll give you 10,000 problems I have in my life. But, you know, it would be more helpful to say, well, I've had a few struggles, but God is good. But see, we very instinctively say things that are not true. So someone says, how you doing? You say, well, fine. Well, is that true? So you want to think on that, and you may capture your thought. You're alert to the fact that what you just said was not true. So you may have to then come back and say, well, it's really, you know, not as great as I'd like it to be, but, you know, God is good. Instead of everybody in the church thinking, man, everything's wonderful in my life. Why would we do that? Because we are a family. We are members, one with another. I appreciate when any of you come to me and say, these are things going on in my life, because that helps me to know how to pray for you. And you are in a false reality if you think somehow that that if you're a Christian, everything needs to be just dandy. We're all struggling. So you think about truth, and so you make a correction. You know, it's a lot easier to change directions in your conversations immediately than having to come back a month later and say, you know, a month ago I said this and it wasn't true. Because the devil has opportunity to make you think, well, it doesn't matter now. No big thing. Everybody does it. And we saw that we need to press forward toward godliness in our mind. So Philippians 3, putting those things that are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, he said, those who are followers of God should think that way. You can do better. You can say, okay, I'm going to change. Every time I am tempted to lie, I'm going to correct that with the truth. Now, what does God say we need to do? He says, set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. So, you do everything you can to think about God. What would God say about that? Would Jesus have said that? Would God the Holy Spirit, is He giving me the okay with that? So it is important that we focus on the person of God, the Son of God, the Word of God, the Bible. What does it say? We need to know the Scripture. So what are we talking about? And I want to just bring this to a close this way. That, you know, if what we are talking about is a clear conscience. Now let me ask you a question. Do you have a clear conscience? You know, in other words, when you think about what happened this last week, can you honestly say, I am right with God, and I'm right with every individual in my life? All right? Now, the Bible speaks of different kinds of conscience. What is the conscience? The conscience, the Holy Spirit works, and according to Romans chapter 2, verse 15, and let's go over there, Romans chapter 2, and verse 15, he says that the conscience is a witness. And it says in verse 15, at the end of that verse, he accuses or excuses. So in other words, your conscience says, you know, he accuses. So our conscience sometimes says, boy, you shouldn't have done that. But sometimes the conscience says, good job. All right? Now, when you look at the conscience, you'll see that there are people who have very sensitive consciences. You know, and what I find is that people who do not know their Bible well are really bothered by a lot of things that they don't need to be bothered by if they knew the Scriptures. But there is such a thing as a defiled conscience. And if you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, it tells us, and here he's talking about eating meats offered to idols. And it says that in verse 7, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto the hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. So here is somebody who knows they're doing wrong, but they do it anyway. And what happens? It defiles their conscience. So what happens when your conscience and the Holy Spirit starts working on you and you say, oh man, you know, that was wrong. I need to make a correction of what I just said. And so, therefore, you know, your conscience gives you the okay. But otherwise, you could say, oh, I'm not going to worry about it. It doesn't matter. Now, you have defiled your conscience. Let me ask you a question. Does your conscience ever bother you when you're speeding? Now, that's a good question. You don't have to answer that. Now, when you are doing something you know you shouldn't be doing, now some people say, well, it's okay to do it for them. Well, won't even go there. But if you are bothered by something and you say, ah, I'm not going to worry about that, does your conscience become clearer or more defiled? What do you think? Does it get better or does it get worse? How many times do you have to ignore something you know is wrong? You know, let's say something comes across the television. Certain words, certain pictures, certain things that come across that. And maybe the first time you saw something like that, you go, oh, I can't believe that. But then you say, well, I'm going to watch it anyway. Did that make your conscience better or worse? What do you think? Worse. So the likelihood of you doing it again, high or low? High. Because you already did it. So your defiled conscience becomes more and more defiled. The Bible speaks about a seared conscience. Now, what is a seared conscience? Look over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, here we're told something very interesting, that in the last days, the latter time, chapter 4, verse 1, there are going to be people who are, according to verse 2, speaking what? Lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, without getting into all the technicalities of that, what it's basically saying, it's kind of like when you burn yourself with an iron and it hurts, right? It was sensitive. But then all of a sudden, there's a scab that forms over it, and there's a point where it's not as sensitive. You can do that with your conscience. And so all of a sudden, you begin to recognize, you know, that, well, I can watch pornography and it doesn't bother me. I can listen to crude, profane language. Doesn't bother me. I would never admit that. Because if it doesn't bother you, something is going on. And what's happening is you are becoming more and more ungodly. Now, if you are saved, the Holy Spirit is going to put some roadblocks in your way. And maybe a sermon. Or maybe in your Bible reading or something. And you said, wow, I've got to change that, because if I keep going in this direction, I'm going to lose my family. I'm going to lose my mind. And it is a very troubling thing to see people get to the point where they can just do wrong, and it's almost like they have no conscience. And then you wonder, they're deacons, they're pastors, they're Sunday school teachers, they're leaders in the church. And you say, that doesn't make sense. I think, and I would advocate this, we are in a world where Christianity has kept moving and moving and moving and moving and moving. And there is no conscience. And somebody gets up and says, you know, I need to start changing. You need to stop doing that. And someone says, well, you're just a legalist. Now, a clear conscience says, okay, I'm honest with God and His Word, and God, I am so sorry, and I go to people I've offended, and I say, okay, we need to make things right, and when I make things right with God, the Bible says that I am cleared of guilt. 1 John 1:9. And when I make things right with others, I'm able to then be around them without feeling like I'm somehow doing, you know, there's going to be some conflict. Now, you can obviously go to somebody and it may not make things better, but at least you did your part. Now, I gave 3 points tonight, and I'm going to quit. But I want you to think on this, and we're going to follow this putting off, putting on, renewing of the mind through these lists of things. He says, you've got to put off. And you've got to put on. And my 3 points were basically this. We need to put away lying. How? By recognizing it's wicked. Number two, by replacing it with truth. And thirdly, by refusing to compromise your conscience. Because it is an inward spiritual battle. We must renew the spirit of our minds. Amen? Now, any habit that is so devastating like that, you need help. If it's a habit, you need help. And if you find that you cannot, by God's grace, change that, you need help. And somebody needs to talk with you who can be a help to you. And God can certainly change you. Now, Father, we are grateful for the time that we've had this evening. And we ask that you would work in our hearts in a definite, deliberate way. And Father, I just pray that every individual in this room would be a truth teller, if they're not already. And that we would put away lying and speak every man truth to his neighbor. And it's important that we do that, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would guide and direct in our church. Help it to be helped, Lord. And because we are members one with another. And we'll praise you for what you do. With our head bowed and our eyes closed.